The length of the next article is 28 minutes. Disclaimer. This is a fictional story, not all the contents are realistic and not all items should be attempted in real life. This story is meant for your reading pleasure only. Always be safe, Rubber Bound Cop. This story is copyright 2018 by Rubber Bound Cop. The intro. Our story starts off when Jesse reached out to me almost a year ago. We met on a Skype group and had been having heavy conversations about rubber and bondage ever since. Jesse had set a goal, once I reached a weight of 167 pounds and slightly toned but not to be overdone, we would make plans to meet. To ensure that I reached the goal, he had me cam with him nearly on a nightly basis. During these times, Jesse would have me do numerous exercises combined with various bondage activities. This would all be done while staring at him, and a random rubber bondage picture he would send each time that also had to become my wallpaper, background, on any electric device I owned. After 6 months the goal was reached, so we both decided that it was time to make a meet mandatory and the opportunity finally arose when both our vacations would align with each other's. The plan was for me to come out to see him for the length of the vacation time. The trip. I was to switch to a liquid diet 2 days before the trip out to his place. He said I was to arrive in extra skin-tight bleacher jeans. For any wrinkles in the jeans I would be punished for each one so I was to ensure that they were beyond a painted-on look fit. A pair of 30-eye-hole boots laced with white laces in a ladder-style technique. The boots were to be over the jeans. A tight black polo shirt and a black belt with a large belt buckle cinched as tight as it would go would complete the look Jesse required for my arrival. My hair was to be shaved on the sides and back. The top of the head hair could not be longer than 1 inch high. The morning of the flight I had to come to him for inspection. So morning came I put on the jeans, taking over 20 minutes to get them fully on. The fit was so tight that the seat of the pants rode fully up the crack of my ass. Very little was left to the imagination. Next I started a Skype call to him for inspection. He was very pleased and wished a safe flight. He had some last minute instructions, no luggage, only bring what I was wearing, a wallet thin to just ID and very little cash. I was instructed to communicate only to him at all times possible till I arrived. On the phone the lock screen and wallpaper had to be changed to a picture he sent me of a guy in extremely tight rubber and heavy bondage and this had to be done and left like that before I left the house for the airport. Time to head to the airport. I talked to Jesse through text messages from this point. After checking in and awaiting for the flight, he texted me that when not looking at the phone I was to throb my dick continuously and do this till I met him in person. Once boarded, I received a MP3 file that I was told I had to listen to on loop till I arrived and was kneeling in front of him. The recording said, "You are a rubber gimp. You are a rubber object. The rubber gimp object no longer has a name, it will only respond to rubber gimp, gimp, it, or object and nothing else. It is a rubber gimp object. Gimp has no rights, it lives to serve and obey. The gimp will never wear anything beside rubber and related items that are approved by Sir. During dry out times the gimp will only wear the type of outfit it is currently wearing and never any looser, only tighter is allowed, ever. While it is wearing rubber it is not allowed to speak to anyone, anywhere, anytime. It may only respond to Sir by the following methods, 1 grunt means yes, 2 grunts means no, 3 grunts repeated with a pause between each repeat means a safety issue needs addressing. No other combination is allowed outside of eye contact which must be fixed on Sir 100% of the time, even if fully hooded, gimp. It is a rubber gimp. It is a rubber object. It only obeys Sir. It will squat wherever, whenever it hears the word boot. The squat will be fully down to where the ass is no higher than 1 foot above ground, the knees to be spread as far apart as possible. This must be maintained for 1 minute, no less, no exceptions, rubber object. It only obeys Sir. It is a rubber object. It is a rubber gimp. The gimp must wear a butt plug whenever in rubber, no exceptions. It is a rubber gimp. The gimp must throb its dick and flex its ass cheeks over and over when wearing a butt plug, non-stop. It is a rubber gimp. The gimp must always wear chastity, no exceptions. It is a rubber gimp. It is a rubber object. It only obeys Sir. The rubber gimp object no longer has a name, it will only respond to rubber gimp, gimp, it, or object and nothing else. The rubber gimp object will stare at its Sir 100% of the time, even when hooded it will make the attempt to stare where it thinks Sir is located. It only obeys Sir. It is a rubber object. It is a rubber gimp. The rubber GIMP object is only allowed to think of how it is the property of Sir. It will enjoy that thought immensely. Now the rubber GIMP object will grunt once, to agree with all these statements. Louder GIMP. Even louder GIMP. Never softer GIMP, only louder and louder GIMP. It is a rubber GIMP. It is a rubber GIMP. It is a rubber GIMP. It is now the property of Sir. It is now Sir's rubber GIMP object. It is now fucked, and it loves being in a fucked state of mind. It only obeys Sir. It is fucked. It is a rubber GIMP. It is a rubber object. It is a fucked rubber GIMP object. This played over and over for 6 hours before the plane landed and was only interrupted by the notification sound of Sir's next text message. The text said that he sent his friend out to pick me up and would know me by how I was dressed. He went on to tell me the make and model as well as the color of his friend's vehicle. I was only to sit in the back seat and was not allowed to talk to him, and only could nod my head at him or grunt for answering his friend's questions. Once I was on the curb outside the airport arrivals gate, it was only about 15 minutes when his friend drove up. I got into the back seat of the vehicle. The driver said, "Fucked object." I nodded. He nodded back and drove off. After driving for about 30 minutes, the driver pulled off the road and drove behind a building. He got out and walked around to my side and opened the door and pointed for me to get out. He handcuffed my wrists together behind my back and then proceeded to shove a very large gag in my mouth and cinched it as tight as he could get it. Then I heard the click of a lock as he locked the gag in place. He also checked to make sure that the earbuds were firmly in place and made sure to crank the volume to max, and the recording was still playing on loop. The driver then proceeded to walk me to the back of the vehicle and opened the trunk and stuffed his arm between my legs, making sure that he put as much pressure as he could in my crotch area, as he lifted me into the truck and slammed the trunk shut. He got back into the vehicle and drove for quite some more time before parking. A long time would pass before the car began to drive again, but not before hearing the door slam when he left and then again when he came back. The drive was longer even yet and then stopped after getting off to a bumpy road and a few minutes on it. The trunk opened and in the same fashion as the driver dumped me in is how he took me out. We apparently were behind an abandoned building. He pointed at the phone and said follow the directions as he removed the handcuffs and refastened them to have my wrists in front of my body. He then got in his vehicle and peeled out and took off. The directions stated find my way into the building and head up to the third floor. In the area near the old elevator shafts there would be a backpack and a bottle of liquid. I was to drink the full amount of liquid in the bottle and then kneel down, knees as far apart as they could be and facing away from the bag. Next to the bottle would be a charging pack for the phone and I was to plug the phone into it. As I waited, my body was becoming heated and I was getting lightheaded and my cock was getting very hard. It was quite clear the liquid was spiked with something. As time went on, my vision became a bit blurry and if I was not horny enough it seemed to have doubled in intensity. A figure started to emerge from the stairs from across the space I was in. It was Jesse. As he got closer I could see he was wearing a pair of Levi's that were so tight you would think they were paint and not fabric, but they were denim. He had similar boots as mine. A similar polo shirt was also fitted to him, revealing every muscle in great detail. His was sporting a mean mohawk. The hawk was only about 1/4 of an inch at its tallest point. In the front of the hawk it was wide and as it went up and over his head it tapered to a point back of the neck. When he approached me he bent over and paused the looping recording playing on the phone. "You did say GIMP, the tighter my clothes were, the more sub you would be. I hope this makes you beyond extremely sub, GIMP." Jesse then walked around me and shoved his boot behind each of my knee joints. "I see a tiny wrinkle behind each knee, you know what that means, GIMP. I get to punish you even more, and twice more at that," Jesse said very smugly. I started to get a little dizzy. He saw this and said, "Well, it looks like it's time to getting the GIMP to the next place." As he said that he fiddled with the bag then took a rag out and pressed it hard over my nose and gag area. Soon I was beginning to tip forward, he caught me and by that time I was out like a light. The awakening. When I awoke I found myself strapped down to a table. There was a mirror on the ceiling that allowed me to see myself. It was apparent that it was no longer in the abandoned building and in a basement of a house now. Someone had changed my clothes. I was now coated in extremely tight rubber, it felt very thick and possibly might have been 2 layers at that. It was not long before I felt the metal chastity belt that had been locked on between the rubber layers. The knees were padded with some kind of knee pads embedded within the layers of rubber. The ass strap was very well pulled up the crack and left no clearance between the strap and the body. There was clearly something crammed up the asshole, but as large as it felt, it was on the comfortable side, but always made its presence known. The rubber suits were head to toe, attached feet, toe sock style, thick and very tight gloves, and hood with perforated eyes and tubes out of the nose and a large one out of the built-in gag. It looked like the gag was built into the first hood. Yes, the recording was still blasting in the ears, but the earbuds felt different, completely plugging the ears this time. As I looked down the body in the mirror, I realized that the second suit had built-in boots that were extremely form-fitting and had very thick soles. It also looked like they had 4-inch heels but appeared like a normal work boot heel shape. After a few minutes of waking up, I noticed a dark figure walking up to the table. As it approached the table, a light came on and I was able to see it was Jesse. From this point on, Jesse will be known and referred as Sir. He looked into my eyes. From this point on, I am to referred to as only it or Gimp. I see the Gimp is awake. Sir's voice was loud and came over the earbuds. I grunted once. Somehow Sir had a mic that fed into the earbuds. Good, time to get the additional metal items on. Sir undid the straps to my waist and had this Gimp sit up. Sir grabbed a metal collar from a nearby surgical tool table. Sir fitted around the Gimp's neck and screwed it shut. Sir then inserted some kind of thin board between the suit and the collar. Sir did this near the screw and near the hidden hinge. Sir then put on a welding helmet on and grabbed a small welding-like device and proceeded to weld both the screw, top and bottom, and the hidden hinge. Sir took some cold water and slowly sprayed in the same areas till they were cool to his liking. Sir then removed the small boards. Now time for the wrist, Gimp. Sir repeated the process for both of the wrists and over the built-in boots. Each of all these had a metal ring on them. Now you are not getting out of this for a long time, now are you, Gimp? This Gimp grunted very loudly once. Good Gimp, it knows its place. The Gimp will no longer hear anything else, just the voice of its Sir and whatever Sir chooses to feed into your ears, Gimp. Sir held a brown jar up to the breathing tube in the gag. Inhale fully, Gimp. Hold it, Gimp. Exhale, Gimp. Sir repeated this 5 times, now Gimp, every time that jar is at its breathing tube, Gimp, it will repeat the 5 inhales exactly as it just did, or it will be punished each and every time. Understand, Gimp? This Gimp grunted firmly once. Sir then proceeded to do this again. As a result, this made this Gimp super horny and made it do a ton of squirming, of what it could do, that is. No sooner after the squirming got really heavy, Sir blew into the tube and it realized that Sir had started smoking a cigar and it was fed the second-hand smoke. Every few puffs of the cigar, and the brown jar was reintroduced. This Gimp lost count of how many times Sir conducted this. By the time Sir stopped, this Gimp was so out of it, Gimp could only focus on the squirming. When Sir finally stopped, Sir unstrapped all the straps that held this Gimp to the table. Sir guided this Gimp to a position where it was sitting on the edge of the table, legs hanging over the edge. Time for feeding, Gimp. Sir took a feeding syringe from the table and inserted it in the breathing tube of the gag. It was full of a bluish creamy-like substance. Sir began to inject it slowly into the tube. This Gimp would get a mouthful, then swallowed it over and over till the syringe was completely empty. I see the Gimp has taken all the mix of Sir's cum, protein shake and a little something to keep the Gimp excited. This will be the standard food for the Gimp, understand, Gimp? This Gimp grunted once. Time to get the Gimp into this shower area. Sir then walked this Gimp over to a shower-looking stall, and positioned it in the middle of it. This Gimp then realized not only how tight the suits were, but also how cinch up the ass crack the suit really was. Every movement, no matter how small, was very well felt. Sir then took a hose and started spraying it, making it turn slightly every so often till a full 360-degree turn was accomplished. Now the Gimp is all shiny and protected against the sunlight. The Gimp will get this treatment a couple times a day till there is a thick enough glass-like coat over its rubber, understand, Gimp? This Gimp grunted once. As the coat dried, it seemed to get stiffer too. After about 30 minutes, Sir took me out of the shower-like stall and walked me outside into Sir's backyard. There Sir positioned it in the middle of the patio where the sun was the strongest and said, Gimp is not to move from this spot till its Sir returns, understand, Gimp? This Gimp grunted with one full grunt. Sir then went back inside the house. After what seemed like an hour or so, Sir came around the corner of the house with another guy and some tools and a rubber leash in hand. Time for your permanent leash, Gimp. The other guy must have been talking, but it could not hear him, it just could hear Sir via the earbuds. Sir held the leash up to the ring that was on the front of the collar. The other guy took a metal ring with open ends and used a large tool that crimped it closed like a link in a chain. The other guy completed it by welding the ends together. When the other guy completed his work, Sir shook his hand and the guy left. Sir admired the handiwork for a bit, then grabbed the leash and walked the skimp out to his vehicle, and seated the skimp into the front passenger seat. Sir then got into the car and drove off. The outing. Sir drove for about 45 minutes before Sir pulled into a parking lot. After parking as far as Sir could, away from the collection of stores, Sir got out of the Jeep and came around and let it out. Sir grabbed the leash and started to walk to the stores, pulling it along. Sir headed for the diner-looking place. Sure enough, it was a diner. The waiter pointed to a table as he said, "The usual table, sir." Sir nodded yes. The table had two chairs, but the waiter removed one, leaving the one Sir sat in. Sir tugged on the leash discreetly but with a fair amount of strength, forcing the skimp to its knees. Sir played with his smartphone for a bit before the waiter interrupted him with Sir's coffee. "What will it be today?" the waiter asked. "I'll have the usual, and bring the gimp the syringe special, and make it as strong as you like. Oh, by the way, better make it two of them, it's his first time having it," replied Sir. The waiter nodded and walked to the back of the diner out of sight. While Sir and the skimp waited, Sir leaned back in his chair and stretched his legs, placing them between the skimp's knees, in alignment with my crotch. Sir's voice came over the earbuds and instructed the gimp to spread its knees apart till I felt my Sir's boots ridding into the crotch and balls area. Sir would then from time to time move his foot a bit or a lot to get a reaction out the skimp and to make sure it did not nod off. After some time the waiter returned with Sir's food, while another waiter came out with a tray that was placed on the table just in front of the skimp. The tray contained a 130ml brown bottle and two 60cc feeding syringes filled with a creamy bluish substance. Once Sir ate half his meal, Sir's voice came back and proceeded to give some instructions. "Okay gimp, Sir is going to feed you these two substances. The gimp will take three long and slow inhales when Sir has the brown bottle to your feeding tube. Then it will be fed the substance in the syringe. At the end it will again take three long and slow inhales from the brown bottle, but it will add an extra inhale for each interruption that occurred in the feeding process, so pace itself for swallows, etc. Once Sir has fed you one syringe, the gimp will be given a short time, then the gimp must repeat the process on its own. This will be the only way the gimp will eat from this point forward. Got it, gimp? Is the gimp ready?" This gimp grunted once on each of the questions. Without further delay, Sir helped the brown jar up to the feeding tube. As ordered, three long and slow inhales were taken. Then the feeding syringe was quickly jammed into the feeding tube. At this point, Sir began to squeeze the substance into the feeding tube of the built-in gag. The flow was steady and this gimp had to quickly adjust and figure out how to regulate the balance of a full mouth to swallowing process. It fumbled up only two quick times but did not go unnoticed. "I counted two screw ups, so you know what that means, gimp. Five inhales," Sir said with a evil grin. Still having an effect from the substance in the brown jar, it was time for this gimp to do it on its own. Three long and slow hits, then the second feeding syringe. As it was taking the second dose, Sir said, "Okay gimp, time to tell you what the gimp's daily meal is made up of. Protein shake, Sir's cum, ground Viagra, and a few miscellaneous ingredients that the gimp does not have the rights to know of." Sir's statement seemed to make this gimp even more horny and it could not hide that fact. "Sir sees the gimp likes that," asked Sir. It grunted once very loudly. "Perfect, then we have the menu set and it seems like it is doing what Sir wants to the gimp, perfect." For the end of the meal, a clear syringe was brought out with Sir's cup of coffee. "Gimp, this is to wash out its feeding tube. Go ahead, take it, gimp." This gimp looked around for the brown jar. That's when Sir said, "Good gimp, it knows it can never feed itself nor be fed by anyone or anything without the brown jar substance before and after each dose," said Sir as he took the jar out of his pocket and placed on the table. It then proceeded with the required doses and then rinsed the tube, swallowing the clear liquid, finishing with three more doses. Once Sir had taken care of the bill, he got up and tugged on the leash to have me stand. Being still in an extremely horny state, made it squirm a lot. Sir looked quite pleased and walked the skimp out of the dinner and back to the Jeep. It walked with a slight swagger as an electric current began to flow through the butt plug up its ass. It knew that this is the state it wanted. Sir preferred it in, as Sir appeared to be overly proud of the skimp's state. Sir posited it in the back seat this time and locked its ankle restraints to a bar welded under the seat. Sir also locked each of wrist restraints to bars welded on each side of the seat. Once happy with the tautness of the restraints, Sir hopped in the driver's seat and drove off. Sir drove for a while before arriving at the post office. Sir went in and came out with a box. Sir placed it on this gimp's lap and strapped it under the seat belt. Sir headed home after that, but managed to take every detour Sir could take. The next layering. When Sir arrived back at the house, Sir removed the locks that held it to the bars. Sir guided this gimp out of the jeep and had instructed it to hold its arms out. Sir placed the box on them and instructed it not to drop the box, or the gimp would be severely punished. Sir then took the leash and walked it back into the house and down to the basement, ending up in the shower-like stall. When Sir came back into viewing range, Sir was not alone. Sir had a rubber-covered guy with him. Sir pointed at this gimp and was appearing to be giving orders to him. Soon after, the guy came over to this gimp and started to coat every inch of this gimp with a gel-like substance from head to toe. During this time it looked like Sir was coating a suit he pulled out of the box that came from the post office. Motioning this gimp to come forward, guided by the other rubber guy, Sir began to slip this new suit over the existing rubber. Next it was walked out over to the table area where a heat gun was placed onto the table. Sir grabbed the heat gun and turned it on. As Sir aimed it at the rubber-like suit, it began to shrink and stiffen. Sir stared into this gimp's eyes, loving the reaction it was giving as the suit shrunk and stiffened. After allowing the suit to cool down, Sir walked this gimp over to the mirror. As it walked, it released the new suit, acted almost like a rubber band, stretching with a lot of resistance and spring back into the standing pose that it was in when the suit was shrunk. There was large bright green letters down the legs now that read, Rubber Gimp Object. The same text appeared in a circle on the left chest area with the number 44 inside the circle. The upper arms each has a orange wide band, top and bottom of each lined with bright green much small bands almost like piping, or a border. The number 44 was also in the orange field in large black letters. Sir had this gimp turn slightly so it could see the back. There was an arch of words running from shoulder, up by the neck, down to the other shoulder. This also read, Rubber Gimp Object. A large 44 smack in the middle of the back, all text was in more of the bright green rubber. It sort of looked like a sports jersey, or rather the text layout did. Now the pre-recorded orders started to play back on full volume. Sir then roughly pulled it back over to the table where two feeding syringes were now laid out with the brown jar. This gimp began to have its dinner. Making three slight pauses on the first and four on the second. This led to an ultra high and horny gimp, and the current in its ass went up double and stayed there. It would be only allowed to squirm and air hump for about 20 minutes before it was locked to a Andrew's cross, spreading its limbs far apart. The other rubber guy was allowed to stay down in the basement with this gimp. The rubber guy felt it was not squirming enough by this point, so he continued to feed it the brown jar off and on all night to keep it at a super horny state. The wrap-up. In the AM the rubber guy was sent home. For the next days to come, the routine was to take this gimp to the diner, wander around in various places including walks in the forest. At night it would always be tied up or locked somewhere while Sir's pre-recorded orders played at maximum volume all night, every night. All the time never being allowed much out of a ecstasy state. Soon weeks would go by and it never knew weeks would have passed. Then one day Sir came over the earbuds on maximum volume, well gimp, it seems it is officially mine. It has been many weeks and it has made no requests to get out, so trial over. It is mine now. It is a fucked gimp for life. Any objection gimp, like it matter now, this gimp just grunted once at the top of its lungs. It was many months later, when it was ordered to write this story as the first part of its de-evolution cycle. The end.